Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Welcome to All Rather Mysterious, the podcast that aims to unlock the mysteries of the past with the key of fact. My name is John Rain. What's that, Eleanor?
My name is Eleanor Morton.
Is it David?
And I am David Reed.
Please join us as we present to you mysteries that have baffled the world and puzzled the minds of the very best. Today we bring you closure. And we're back.
We're back. Finally. Again. It's hard to organise these.
It really is. I mean, Backstreet Boys were right. It's very difficult.
Yeah, and Backstreet is back.
Yeah, eventually. Right. It took them long enough. They had to write a song about how long it took them.
That's where we're going wrong. We haven't written any songs about what we're doing.
No. We've been lax on the old song front.
And done many other things as well. But the song one's really got to me.
Yeah, I just can't face doing songs. No one can. Right. I'm just checking the list of the itinerary for today's podcast, and I've noticed that number one is banter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Have you got anything? Have you prepared anything?
No.
I've got something.
Go on.
Guys, what do you do when your glasses steam up with a mask?
Oh, I mean, that is a good one. I'm really feeling that banter.
Because a lot of people have said, oh, this is what you do, like, and then it hasn't worked.
I have literally
taped my mask to my nose. And it hasn't worked.
I've taken my glasses off and hung them on the sort of my t-shirt.
Yeah, you just have to take them off, don't you?
Yeah.
Insane.
I have adapted like I'm walking through a thick fog and literally done nothing about it and just accepted that I have no vision for a while.
You can either.
Whenever I drop off my daughter at nursery, I go, oh shit, a mask. I'm always meters from the door when I remember that I'm living in a pandemic.
Yeah.
And I put my glasses on. They immediately steam up and I have to be in sole charge of a toddler with no vision for the next 3 minutes or so.
You can either see
properly. Offload her on a woman.
You can either see properly or you can be protected from the pandemic. That you can't do both.
You can't do both. Yeah, yeah. But as a man who has his entire life had appallingly bad eyesight, I sort of feel quite comfortable in a thick fog.
Yeah.
And it makes everything more mysterious, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like you're in an Arctic tundra.
That's it. Mm. Where we all feel our most comfortable.
Yeah. I tell you what, I don't know why they call it lockdown. They should call it lock up. Am I right?
Yeah.
They should do. It's the opposite of the film Lock Up.
Yeah, with Sylvester Stallone.
It should be called Lockdown.
Should be called Lockdown. I mean, we all got our own warders to fight.
What's that? Hang on, Sylvester Stallone, isn't it one with Guy Pearce called? What's that one?
Oh, Yeah, you might be right. They might be called the same thing. But there was a Stallone one where Donald Sutherland's the warden and he's crooked.
Yeah. There's a space prison escape.
You're called, right, there is.
With Guy Pearce, where they were sued for it being too like a Kurt Russell film.
Yes.
And that is entirely fair because Guy Pearce is doing a, to be fair, utterly spot-on Kurt Russell impersonation for that entire film. This isn't a film podcast, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. It's all under the banter section. People love
we're
it.
We're all film nerds, so all banter will be film-orientated.
That's right.
Has any podcast just transitioned into being a different podcast halfway through?
Oh, loads. Ricky Gervais probably does that.
Yeah.
Kind of like the hijinks that he'd get up to.
He loves a hijink.
He does.
As long as it's not a foreign hijink, then he won't like it very much.
They're just jokes.
It's not my problem, people. You're offended.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, that's
anyway.
Tick, banter. Tick,
banter. So, Eleanor, I believe you have a mystery that you'd like to...
I do. Have either of you heard of the Count of Saint-Germain?
No.
Or the Comte de Saint-Germain?
Is it Saint-Germain?
No.
That's a football team, isn't it?
It's a football team.
Paris Saint-Germain.
Saint-Germain, yeah. No, it's
is
not
Is it the French
team.
Version of Sesame Street?
No.
Are you saying Saint is yeah. street yeah. rather than Saint?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, ha ha ha. Du, ha ha ha.
That's the one, yeah.
The Count
Ted Cruz.
Such a man. I mean, that is niche. yes.
No. You haven't
it's
heard of it.
It's not that. Oh,
I
well,
haven't heard of it.
No, he then is, I haven't heard of it.
I think John might like this because he is considered the historical, real life Doctor Who.
Oh,
yes.
I do like this.
Yes,
I mean, I'm already incredulous.
I'm not going to lie; it might fall into the category of the Versailles illusion,
the time slip. Yeah,
no, yes.
I mean, that's one of my all-time favourites on this podcast.
Yeah, me thank too. You. Yeah. Count Saint-Germain was an adventurer, an alchemist, a musician. An aristocrat, a whole bunch of different stuff throughout his life.
When is this set?
This is, all right, so let's go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
A very good place to start. He was born, they're not quite sure, either 1691 or 1712, so that's about a 20-year gap.
Bloody hell.
And no one
long
knows
labor.
His birthplace. Yes, very long. No one knows his birthplace. He claimed to be from various places, but he also claimed to be a Transylvanian prince, in which case if he was the prince he claimed to be, he would have been born in 1712. But he starts appearing as the Comte de Saint-Germain in the 1740s, and there are lots and lots of different accounts about him from all over Europe, but I'm going to mainly focus on the verified ones from people who definitely existed, because I like to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, so the first time he appears in England is in 1745 when Horace Walpole, he's either the Prime Minister or the son of the Prime Minister. I can't remember which one, but he's a guy
right.
that existed. He was big into Gothic stuff, I think. Or maybe that was...
What, he liked Sisters of Mercy?
Yeah, eyeliner and stuff, yeah. he writes that someone has recently been arrested because of the Jacobite rebellion is happening at that time. And he says, they seized an odd man who goes by the name of Count Saint-Germain. He will not tell who he is or whence he came. He is called an Italian, a Spaniard, a Pole, a priest, a fiddler, a vast nobleman. The Prince of Wales has had unsatiated curiosity about him, but in vain. So that's the first time he pops up. And we also have a record of him giving two musical performances in London in 1749. So he definitely wrote music. He was a violinist, and there's like a whole bunch of arias and things that he definitely wrote. He's definitely a real person. That's the main thing. Horace also said that he spoke Italian and French, understood Polish, learnt to understand English, but Spanish or Portuguese seemed his natural language. So
was he that little tortoise from Duolingo?
It's an owl, isn't it?
Oh, you're
changed?
Right. Yeah, it's an owl. Sorry.
It's an owl. Yeah. He was an owl. Yeah, he's a little owl.
Is he called Duo or Lingo? That owl.
Duo, I think.
I think it's his first name and surname.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Mr.
Yes.
Duolingo.
That's right.
He then pops up in 1757 with our old favourite Casanova.
Hello.
Yeah, bit of fun. Who meets him in Paris in 1757, where he says that he meets him and he was a scholar, linguist, musician and chemist. He was good looking and a perfect ladies' man.
I bet Casanova said he was a cunning linguist.
I think he's
upgraded
jealous.
From an alchemist to a chemist by that point, I've noticed.
Yeah, that's very good point, yes.
He's given up on making gold and he's now going to make things that actually work.
Well,
apparently...
right. Which is a gold mine in itself.
It is.
Yeah. Apparently he was very... He liked telling people about some kind of dyeing method he'd figured out, which was meant to be very good. I don't know enough about dyeing.
When you say dyeing method, do you mean colouring cloth or do you mean putting an orange in his mouth and...
the first one.
Okay, cool.
So,
I don't know anything about that.
No. It didn't sound like you did.
No. This extraordinary man, intended by nature to be the king of imposters, would say he was 300 years old, he knew the secret of the universal medicine, I don't know what that is, he could melt diamonds, and I thought him an astonishing man.
How very useful to be able to melt diamonds.
Well, you know, everyone's got a party piece, don't they?
They do. They do.
How do you melt diamonds?
Bending is the guy who bends a spoon is going to walk out of that party in shame when someone melts diamonds.
You mean the Count of Uri Geller?
Yeah.
I mean, if you knew how to melt diamonds, John, then you'd be the Comte de Saint Germain. So I'd put
them on the soles of my shoes.
Do you think a melted diamond would be worth more or less than a cut diamond?
I don't know. What it looked like when it was melted.
Do you think he just had a bottle of Diamond White?
A frozen bottle of Diamond White.
What is this melted diamond you have brought us? Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
I think he had a bottle of PVA glue and he used to just let it dry on surfaces.
Yes.
And then in 1760, he is recorded to be in The Hague in the Netherlands. He sets up some kind of dyeing factory. Again, he can't get off this dye thing. He also decides at that point that he wants to try and broker peace between the UK and France. I don't know why he decided he was a diplomat apparently as well.
I mean, he can barely speak English.
Well, maybe by this point, let's be fair, he might have done. That's quite a few years on Duolingo.
I don't know about your progress on Duolingo, but I've managed to get to the point where Duolingo just hassles me.
Yeah. That's why he moves around so much. In those days, Duolingo was an actual person who would come to your house.
Right. An actual owl.
Duolingo, yeah.
An actual green owl. And now he just hassles me that I'm not learning enough Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he starts writing letters to the British government, the French government, but for some reason this gets him banished from the Netherlands for being annoying. So he ends up in London. Yeah, I know.
You have to be quite... annoying for it to reach banishment levels, don't you? What was the name of that little annoyed German boy we talked about before?
Kasper Hauser. Another one of mine.
Yeah, that level of annoying.
Yeah, when everyone stabs you to death.
Yeah, that's it.
My specialty is annoying people through history. He then travels around, he goes to London and then he travels around various places all over Europe. In 1779, he is... pals with Prince Charles of Hesse-Kassel, I think.
Hang on, isn't he nearly 100 years old at this point?
He could be, yeah. But he's still walking. This is all documented, so this is definitely things that happened.
He sounds like the Tommy Wiseau of the 17th and 18th
century.
Ageless gobshite.
Because he made his fortune in leather jackets or something. That's how
he
funded
the room. Well, no one really knows, but yeah.
Yeah, so maybe maybe there's an elixir.
Maybe Tommy Wiseau's an alchemist. That's his
I did not melt that diamond. I did not.
I did not.
Oh, hi, Mark.
This prince of, a part of Germany, gives him a lab and a factory for his fun dye experiments. Apparently, according to the prince, Germain told him that he was the son of the Transylvanian prince Francis. Oh God, I'll get this wrong. Francis II Rakocci. Okay. And was 88 in 1779. So yeah, he would have been pretty old if that was all correct.
Mm-hmm.
He then died in 1784.
Hang on. Did he pass away? Did he go to a different colour?
Yes. It's a proper joke. We set it up.
Yeah. No, I did it wrong. He passed from this mortal coil.
And what colour was he?
Sort of purplish blue colour.
Okay, that's quite snazzy.
Tie-dyed.
It's very expensive.
In those days, if you got found in a cupboard with a tie around your neck wanking, it was tie-dyed.
You tie-dyed.
Yeah, that's right.
You tie-dyed.
Well, it would be a cravat, wouldn't it?
Good point.
Yeah.
So he dies in 1784, and all his possessions are auctioned off because he's got no known family. But this is not where his story ends.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Because he was seen during the French Revolution.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was. And he always looked... Shut up, John.
Sorry.
Before that, in 1785, that's a year after he died, he was listed on the register for a Masonic convention in Paris in 1875 by Dr. E.E. Eckert, and two other people separately recorded seeing him at this convention.
Is that the guy who started that phone network?
That's yes. Right, yeah.
It's my phone network, actually.
And
you
mine,
know what?
Yeah.
It's absolutely fine. That's what I'd say about that.
It is fine.
Yeah, I switched from it because it was absolute garbage.
Oh. Don't say that. They might sponsor us.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. It wasn't garbage, so I left.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Well, before they set up that, they saw an undead counsellor in Germain who reportedly the ages of 40 and 50.
Okay.
Are you sure it wasn't just someone that looked like him?
No, because it's a mystery.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
In 1786.
See what you did there.
2 years after he died, he had apparently a meeting with the Empress of Russia, that was Catherine the Great. And then in 1788, the Count de Chalons claims to have spoken to him in Venice. Although, to be fair, I did Google this and I couldn't find a record of this specific count.
So someone who didn't exist spoke to him 2 years after he died?
Well, I just couldn't find a record for him. Mm. So, you know, I don't know. I didn't, yeah.
Maybe he died them.
And then the sightings continue. In 1820, he's seen by an English writer called Albert Van Damme, who meets him in Paris, and it says he calls himself Major Fraser, but he's very like the Count Saint Germain. He says his memory was absolutely incredible. He has told me he has known Nero and has spoken with Dante and so on. And then we get a few more of these. In 1860, the poet Edward Baron Lytton. He's the one who came up with the line, "It was a dark and stormy night." Mm. He claims to have met him.
Wasn't that Don McLean?
that's right. That's the man.
Yeah.
1817, Napoleon III is so interested in the Count that he puts together a committee to try and figure out who he is. I mean, there's no record of that going anywhere.
Had a dying business.
In 1914, there's a sort of folklore legend that he was captured by two German soldiers during the Second World War, and he predicted to them the end of the war, the Depression, and World War II, and then they let him go.
Wow.
But the
so how do these people know that this person looks like the Count?
That's a very good question, and I would say to that, I don't know.
Is there a painting of him?
There is an engraving of him, yes.
An engraving?
Yes.
I see somebody who looks a little bit like an engraving, that I go hell for leather on demanding they are the same person who's clearly been dead 100 years.
High quality engraving.
Yeah, really, really high def. High def engraving.
He was made of metal.
Yeah. Well, he tried to
And he was in a park bench as he walked along.
I tell you what, the T-1000 would have been a particular kind of creepy if he was engraved.
He would, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Don't say that. They'll make the next Terminator film about that.
But okay, they go back Terminator. In time, so it's, yeah.
That sounds fun.
It's about time Terminator went back to, you know, Barry Lyndon times.
Yeah.
Myths developed around the Constant German was that he was immortal, a vampire, the Wandering Jew, an alchemist, Nicholas Flamel, Acia, the son of an Italian princess, a Spanish Jesuit, an Alsatian called Simon Wolfe, the Marquis de...
Hang on, you can't say that and move on so quickly.
You can't be, can't be what a mess, the dog.
Alsatia is a region in Germany.
Oh, like saying he's a Labrador. Or a Great Dane. Like saying he's a Great Dane.
He was a Yorkshire Terrier.
Yeah, a West Highland...
Yeah, he was a Scotty. He was one of those Scotty people.
Yeah, he was a Doberman and he did a lot of pinching.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Thanks.
And Merlin. So that's the three of the things.
Yeah.
Madame Blavatsky, do you guys know about her?
No.
She was a sort of famous mystic, weird kind of lady. Anyway, she claims to have met him in 1896 and she always told the truth. So.
Right. Mystics famously tell
But the sightings continued right up until the present day. In 1972, a man went on French TV claiming to be him.
Right.
It turns out he wasn't.
Why would he lie?
I don't know.
Oh, it's another one of these, Alan.
It is.
One where...
It is.
No, listen.
You've just networked some gobshites and come up with a story, haven't you?
I had some other modern
ones. In 1987, he was signing on in Chelmsford.
Well, you know, I mean, being immortal is expensive, I imagine.
It is.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's an S-Pod thing. The podcast revisiting S-Club 7's insane TV show.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone's binge-watched this. Anyone who's not on drugs.
Thank you for bringing this into my life. It was honestly truly appalling.
Guests helped me analyse the show in more detail than anyone ever asked for.
It feels weird to me to say the phrase sex object in a show that was aimed at six-year-olds.
Do you think there's one of the problems with the show is that 7 is too much?
It's an S-Pod thing from Great Big Owl.
No, if you've watched Highlander, you just sell all of your possessions as antiques and you're really rich.
Yeah, that's clever, actually.
But you have to watch Dear Heather die in your arms.
Oh, poor Heather.
Poor Heather.
I haven't actually seen Highlander.
What? Scottish, you're supposed to.
It's 40% of your culture.
It's your national film.
I've heard that Sean Connery plays a Spaniard, though. That's right, isn't
he? He plays an Egyptian who is a Spanish peacock.
Mm. He's courtier to the King of Spain.
Yeah, he's chief metallurgist to the King of Spain.
That's right, yeah.
But he's an Egyptian. Yeah.
And he doesn't know what haggish is.
Haggish.
No.
Haggish.
Sounds revolting. It's a wonderful film.
Hmm.
No, I mean, you've really sold it to me, I think. So.
It's one of my favourites.
Is it?
I think so. It's certainly got a following. I'll say that for it.
So loaded.
Yeah, it doesn't. So's David
Icke. Maybe I will watch it.
You were implying it has a following of nonces. Yeah. That's what you were implying.
Yeah, it was, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah, really.
It was an ellipsis.
Well, no, listen, that's what you read into that, isn't it? So,
yes, but I am a famously good reader of character. Look, this story is fascinating.
I've only got a couple more.
There's more sightings.
I can't see how there could be less, but you're telling me there's more.
He was riding a brontosaurus in Rio.
There are more sightings that I have mentioned, but I only mentioned the most credible ones.
The most credible.
Right,
okay. In 2014, a Czech composer whose name I can't find because.
Was he being played by Peter Capaldi at this point?
David Navisky, I think. A Czech composer met him in 2014. And that's one of the latest ones, but I think other people have claimed to anyway.
Where did he meet him?
It didn't say on Wikipedia.
On MSN?
Yeah, could be.
What is his Twitter handle? Oh, I've actually met him.
Oh, I bet there is a
He sounds like the kind of story that art students think is brilliant. And so endless generations of art students have claimed to be him until they grow up and get debts and have to get a job.
There was records of several different people who claimed to be him and also wrote under the name the Count Saint Germain.
Right, but haven't hundreds of people claimed to be Abraham Lincoln because they're mentally ill?
Yes,
like literally hundreds. So if this is a well-known story in France, you're literally listing ill people.
The only difference between that and Abraham Lincoln is that the Count Saint Germain claimed to be an immortal while he was still alive.
Sure.
So to be fair, he did set himself up for this a bit.
Did anyone else who was the Count of Saint Germain carry on with the dying business, or did that stop?
That's a great question. You know what? I didn't find any records, but wouldn't it have been great if he really had made a breakthrough there?
Mm. Well, because it sounds to me like he was, in his lifetime, was a bit of a gobshite industrialist who had a legitimately mundane dying business. Mm-hmm. And then after his death, people have just sort of carried on his lies.
Basically Kirk Saint Moritz from Dear John.
Oh.
I don't get that reference, but I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone listening will.
John, I thought, you'd be up on this. You know, he's a time-travelling immortal. He's always got a lovely lady in his arm.
Has he, though?
Is he Doctor... Adventures. You're trying to say he's Doctor Who, but I don't remember Doctor Who having a dying business. I admittedly say I haven't watched the early ones. It might feature heavily in the original episodes of The Cybermen or whatever, but Doctor Who keeps having to get back for his dying business.
To be fair to Ellen, the first couple of series of Doctor Who are a bit bogged down because he's got a small pottery business.
Okay.
Yes, that's why you're embarrassing yourself, David.
I stand corrected.
The William Hartnell ones, where he has a dying factory.
They're all regional industry based.
That's right, yeah. Men in big sideburns and hats.
Educational.
Mm.
But you're not buying that, John.
Yeah.
No.
I need to get back to submit my quarterly VAT returns.
This is a bloke who was a dickhead and then he died. I mean, even if it was him that died the first time, he might have died years before. Because by the sounds of it, he died when he was about 95.
He was certainly old.
And in those days, people rarely lived to be over 90.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I suspect it wasn't even the same bloke who died first time.
You know, there's even whole Reddit threads where people claim to have met him today, which I think is quite fun.
It's a fun little game, isn't it? It's a fun meme in the original context of memes, rather
it's like
than
Purple Aki.
GIFs.
God, that wasn't fun. That was just
Purple Aki.
What's that?
He was a very strange, eccentric man.
In Liverpool,
he used to measure people's... He used to touch people's muscles.
He used to feel people up and it was weird.
It was weird.
But it became a documentary. So
and a meme. And
he was doing something right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think... I was going to say, who is the present-day equivalent of the Count of Saint Germain?
Well, Geller.
Yuri Geller, I was going to say.
No,
yes.
Really?
Someone who claims something false. That's
or David Icke.
Well, David Icke claims them about other people, though. That, yeah, I don't think in 200 years someone's going to be, I'm David Icke.
No, you're right, you're right.
Yeah, he has. He is quite a boring man, it seems, apart from his insane theories. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you said to me he stormed the battlements battle and killed 100 men, I'd be like, oh, okay, but if he's just running a fairly mundane dying business.
Well, no, he was also, no, listen, he was also a musician, a very good musician. He's got lots of languages. Mm. He's a bit of a ladies' man, according to Casanova, and he would know.
He would know, wouldn't he?
Yeah. So
and he was played by David Tennant, who is Doctor Who.
So it all connects up.
It all connects in a meaningful way, definitely in a meaningful way it connects.
Yeah, I think there's... It's just a bloke who died a long time ago and then people have pretended to be him.
All right.
Well. Or he could be Loki, the god of mischief.
Yeah,
those are
see?
The two options I'm willing to consider.
Or a Highlander.
I love that they're called Highlanders, even though only one of them was
only
a Highlander.
Only one of them the Highlander. What about that bloke from Africa who he fights halfway through?
He doesn't fight him. That's his best friend.
Oh, that's his best
he
friend.
Gets killed by the Kurgan.
That's right. So is the Kurgan... The Kurgan is a Highlander, though.
No, the Kurgan is immortal, but the Kurgan is from Russia.
Anyway, they're all from that planet, David.
It must be
don't
depressing.
Talk to me about the sequels.
Is it called Zippy or something, the planet?
Yeah, that's right, Planet Zippy. In the Bungle Nebula.
That's right.
You know, it's really sad because Highlanders are actual people and none of them are immortal. It just must be quite depressing.
Well,
to
in a way they are,
Anna,
because if you think of people like William Wallace, his
not
spirit,
a Highlander.
His spirit is immortal.
Yeah, why is William Wallace not a Highlander?
Well, I think he was from lower down, Perthshire, wasn't he?
Kent.
Was he?
Yeah, Kent.
Well, he was posh, so I'm afraid he would have spoken French, probably.
He was a nobleman, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
It was a Norman.
He definitely wouldn't have had biker hair.
No.
That's for certain.
But Christopher Lambert did speak French, to be fair to him, so...
Christophe Lambert.
Yeah.
He was from lots of places.
Yeah. Stop rocking the boat, you stupid haggis.
Love him in that film. It makes no sense.
Well, you are the master race, Jack.
Yeah.
It's a great film. Why can't we talk about that?
Why can't we talk about films instead of this bullshit Ellen has brought to our table?
Are you saying once again that I have brought you something that's potentially
nothing? No, look, I love this.
Nothing.
This is the highlight of my year.
It's like when a sort of eclipse happens. It's like Eleanor brings a mystery that's not a mystery, but it's very well researched in her.
Thank you.
Plus columns.
To your credit, Eleanor, the bullshit I bring next week is going to be in no way as well researched.
Oh, same
point. Yeah. I don't think you've got Horace Walpole and Casanova as your sources, do you guys?
No, really, definitely not.
There we go. Great, good, cool.
So can I just ask though, let's dig a bit deeper into this.
Okay.
Do you countenance the idea that this is an immortal being walking amongst us?
I mean, in a fantasy world where I believe everything, yes.
Right.
And how about on this podcast?
No, he's probably just dead, isn't he?
Right, but, yeah. I think there is something quite fun in it being an unspoken game that... people play that where they decide that it's happened repeatedly that people have pretended to be someone. That's quite a legacy, I think, to leave behind, considering you just had a dying business. that's not glamorous. Like, being in the cloth industry isn't glamorous. I mean, they used to have to fix dyes with urine. He would have stank.
Yeah, he would.
He's really sexed up a thing that I think most people would agree is pretty dull.
I mean, it's a bit like people in 100 years' time saying, I am Mike Ashley.
People going, okay, nice to meet you, Mike.
I do think, to be fair, the Constantia man did have a bit of charisma and charm to him.
But he didn't have slung the trainers at reasonable prices.
Like, I think there's got to be something in it for the charlatan to say, I am the Count de Saint-Germain.
Also, Count de Saint-Germain's quite sexy in itself, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It would be like somebody in 2080 saying, I am World Wrestling's The Undertaker. you know, an immortal being who walks amongst us and is quite charismatic.
Kelsey Grammer, yeah.
He looks exactly like Kelsey Grammer these days, yes.
I mean, the fun thing about this is in the past it was much harder to prove anything at all. So, you know, nowadays it's quite easy to prove.
Well, the one thing we find out about the people from the past that remains a fact is that they're all fucking stupid.
Compared to now, when truth wins, doesn't it? Right. I mean, these days.
Wall-to-wall geniuses nowadays.
Wear a mask, right, guys?
Yeah.
You're such a sheep, John.
I know.
Also, everything the BBC tells you,
I do. Also, get your vaccine, especially the Bill Gates one, because you will get regular updates.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, open your eyes.
Yeah.
I mean... David shouldn't get it because he's Apple, so that would fuck up the system, wouldn't it?
I am Apple.
Sorry. I am Apple.
Sorry, you're like Neo Apple. At the end of the Matrix.
Yeah, I mean, you are.
I am Apple.
You are back referencing our sound check rather than anything we've recorded. So people are going to be very confused right now.
I don't know. I think it's a pretty simple concept.
If they're listening at all, they're probably turned off by this point.
David has Apple products. That's not.
I have Apple products and I hate them.
I have Apple products and I like them.
Yeah. I have none.
Mine don't work, John. I don't. None of it works. Mine but it works. Also won't let me fix it.
You've become very cantankerous in your old age.
Look, I am old now, but I have very few skills in this life, and a small amount of sound tech skill is something I have won awards for. I've never told you that before. I've mostly banged on about scuba diving, the fact I can't do anything with an Apple product infuriates me.
I mean, you are talking about an iPad, which is a single-use product, really.
Oh, yeah, you're supposed to play Angry Birds and put it in a skip.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a burner phone, an iPad.
Yeah, it is.
You snap it in half.
In the sound tech
after
world,
speaking to your drug dealer.
Yeah. On your knee.
Yeah. Put it in a small bin and walk away, making sure the feds aren't in a beat-up car across the road.
So the Carrot Saint Germain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are the theories, Eleanor?
Well, there are a lot of theories out there. People are very big on this mystery. And if you Google it, there are a lot of websites that are trying to figure that out. And I would say, I have no clue. What are your theories, John?
Well, I think it's Loki, the god of mischief.
That's good.
Have you been paid to promote the Loki TV show ahead of its release?
Well, funnily, you should say that. Because if you watch the trailer for Loki, in inverted commas, he's D.B. Cooper in it.
He is D.B. Cooper.
Is he?
Our very first episode.
Oh, my God.
He's basically... It's Time Bandits, isn't it? He's being evil Quantum Leap, is basically the pitch. I know that I've worked with the director of Loki. Hmm. She and I made a frankly terrible sci-fi short film years ago. Oh. And then she directed Sex Education, and now she's doing phenomenally well.
Yeah.
She's a very nice, talented lady.
Couldn't she have got you a part in Sex Education?
Well, she didn't bother, did she?
You can't ask that, John. You can't ask that.
Why can't you ask that?
Well, it's actors, isn't it? You can't ask them things like that.
Why not?
Why are you talking like you're not an actor?
Yeah, you're an actor.
Oh, balls.
Why aren't you in Sex Education?
Yeah, justify yourself.
What are your theories, David?
My theories?
Change the subject there.
No, look, you know what, Eleanor? The more I thought about this, the more it has piqued my interest, but not for any of the reasons you brought it to it. Like, I think this character was one of those rare breeds of people who is charismatic enough for their legacy, their reputation, to outlive them, to the point where dull people just want to be part of that legend of being an immortal being. So have repeatedly, through no great conspiracy or communication with one another, pretended to be decades and even hundreds of years apart. And I think that's kind of wonderful.
Yeah, and can any of us say that someone will pretend to be us when we're dead?
I can categorically say no one will pretend to be me once
No one
I'm
wants
dead.
To be when I'm alive.
Not even John.
No. No, it's like living in a prison within a prison.
Somebody set up a Twitter account for my dog. That's as close as I'll get.
Really?
Who did?
Yeah.
So, do
I
you
don't know,
who
know
it was?
Mate. No.
You sure it is wasn't your dog on your iPad? That...
No, it was my... No, there's it still exists. It's still on Twitter. They still tweet woof at me occasionally.
That's fucking weird.
Do you think that's cute or weird?
Well, I don't want, if they're a big fan of something I've done, I don't want to shit on them from a high height. But I didn't find it endearing. I didn't know what to do with it, to be honest. Because yeah, it's dog, right? I have a personal relationship. That's a member of my family. I have a personal relationship with him. You are not him. So it's a bit weird.
Mm. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
What can you do?
He's asleep on the sofa opposite
me. Hiya. Yeah.
He's locked his account.
His account.
I'm going to follow him now.
If he wakes up and then there's a tweet, are you going to get a bit freaked out?
No, he's locked out, as you say. He kept inciting riots.
A bit racist as well.
No, he's very, very careful with the language he chooses.
Is he anti-cat? Because that would get you locked out of the internet.
Yeah.
You know what? He's anti most dogs. I find it a bit embarrassing.
I've only met him once, but he was very cute.
Oh, he still is.
Yeah.
Sweetheart.
You're not allowed to say his name on air, though, are you?
No. I have to pay him £1. It's like...
He's got you over a barrel, hasn't he?
Oh, he's
really?
Very litigious.
A mug.
His name's Buddy.
Aww.
Fans of my old podcast, Film Fandango, will know him well because he was literally a weeks old puppy when we started doing that. And he is now nearly 9.
Oh my God.
I know.
Do you know, I am disappointed that friends of mine have obtained puppies during this lockdown and I will not get to see them as puppies because of the lockdown.
They turn into dogs very quickly. Very short window.
At least they don't turn into cats.
Or, you know, another bread bin. Who wants that?
No one wants that.
No one wants two bread bins. No, neither have I. No.
I don't have a bread bin. We keep ours in the fridge. I know that's controversial.
We keep ours in the fridge.
Hang on. Okay. You keep a bread bin in the fridge.
Yeah.
Otherwise it might go off, John. You don't want a rotting bread bin on your counter.
But,
is there bread in it?
No, of course not.
So there's just a bread bin in the fridge. Okay, fine. It must be a Scottish thing.
Yeah, and we keep Scottish loaf in it.
Of course.
Which is only good toasted.
McCovis.
That's it.
It's a well-known fact. You put muck after before everything, and it's Scottish.
Like son of Hovis. That's what that means.
It does mean son of Hovis, and it means somebody fucked a Hovis. I lived in Scotland for 5 years, and I know that's definitely.
Hang on,
true.
Are you suggesting that it's in bread?
Yes, two proper jokes.
That works.
Two. We are flying.
Yeah. I think we solved it though.
Oh, definitely. What did we say?
Look, I think he was
bread.
He was bred. I'm saying I think he was some eccentric normal bloke who tried to make life a bit of fun, and that has lasted. That has worked. I don't think he's immortal, but his name has lived on, hasn't it? And inspired future generations to be as weird as he was.
I mean, exactly. I couldn't agree with you more, despite the fact I'd never heard of him.
No. But we're not French, you know.
No.
Like,
I mean,
I've heard of Asterix.
Yes.
But I've never pretended to be him.
I wouldn't have the gall to pretend I know who he is.
Hey.
Oh my God, you are just punning it out of the park tonight.
You must have had all these puns that you've just like had to hold in for months on end.
I had pun blue balls.
So I like David's idea. I mean, it's super boring.
It's romantic rather than mysterious.
All right,
what I'm going for.
Since we haven't spoken in a long time, and hey, I've missed you guys. I'll back you both.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Yeah. A tie.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's closure then.
Done it. Tick.
Yeah. You know, even though that was obvious from the beginning, that's what we've drawn as a conclusion.
Well,
hey, sometimes the most obvious answer is the truth.
Just ask Fox Mulder.
That's
you
right.
Never, hey, listen, guys. You know, I'm pretty sure there's a market for mysteries that are not mysteries, and I have cornered it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
You're in many ways the Count of Saint-Germain of non-mysteries.
Merci beaucoup.
Ah. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's another mystery solved for you. I like the way I actually refer to them as ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Just fancy,
rather
yeah.
Rather than you lot.
Yeah. Them.
I was doing a sort of grimace face, which doesn't quite, you know, communicate over audio. Yeah, well, we'll see you next time for more mysteries. Until then, keep following us at RatherPod.
All RatherPod, isn't it?
All RatherPod. Yeah.
I always get that all wrong. RatherPod.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
See, we were both wrong.
www.twitter.com http://.
All RatherPod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And please dig into our other episodes where when the Loki series does appear next year, I think, you can go back and listen to what actually happened rather than that nonsense.
Yeah, we've got a lot of Marvel content to look forward to before then, guys. So check out our future podcast for discussions about that, because we've got Falcon and Winter Soldiers coming out.
Yep.
And then we've got, I don't know. What have we got? We've got the Hawkeye series. Who isn't looking forward to that?
I can't wait. He was my favourite character.
Oh,
he's no one's favourite character, right?
The way he was introduced and then immediately mind wiped just made me want to know more about the character.
Yeah. And his little cameo he has in the first Thor film where he's up on a cherry
He's
ticket.
In a bucket, isn't he?
He's in a bucket. I was so Big excited. Bucket. I was so jazzed.
Oh, he nearly did something and then they called him off.
What, you mean he's got an arrow and a bow? Wow.
And a bucket. And the bucket doesn't come back, and that's when I lost
it.
Well,
it is an accessory when you get the toy, though. Anyway.
I heard that about Jeremy Renner. He comes in a little bucket.
Oh. Poor Jeremy. He's had a tough time.
No, he hasn't.
He has. He released an awful single.
Oh, no.
That is a tough time.
Anyway, we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
The Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.